Welcome, everybody. It's kind of a sad day. Most of the time we would be together, but we're not going to be together, so we'll keep doing the best we can, and we'll get through this as best we can. In John the 10th chapter, and at verse 7, Jesus makes an important statement, I think, about his mission on the earth. In John 10 at verse 7, Jesus says, "I am the door to the sheep." And we've talked about that before. The shepherds would take their sheep, their flocks, into the hills. They would let them graze, and at night they would bring them into a rough enclosure like what you see here. This would be built out of sticks, and it looks kind of flimsy when we look at it, but it was a way to keep the sheep together. And the shepherd, frequently, because he was so concerned about his sheep, would sleep in the door to this enclosure. And so when Jesus says, "I'm the door," those people understood what that was all about. They would call to mind these temporary pens in which the sheep would be housed, and the shepherd who would, in fact, really be the door. And the first thing that we think about when we think about Jesus saying, "I am the door," is that he is a door to a place of absolute safety. There are so many places where Jesus talks about the safety that he offers. In John the 16th chapter and at verse 13, Jesus says this. John 16 at verse 13. "When the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all truth." Wait a minute. John 16 at verse 13. I want John, I got the wrong passage. I want John the 6th chapter and at verse 13. No. Well, the best laid plans of mice and men sometimes go awry. So let's skip John the 16th chapter. And let's look at Romans, the 5th chapter. The Apostle Paul talks about what Jesus has done. In Romans 5 and at verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." In Psalms 95 and at verse 7, David, of course, who reflected often on Jesus and Jesus as a shepherd and Jesus in charge of a flock. In Psalms 95 at verse 7, David says, "He is our God. We are the people of his pasture. We are the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as they did in Meribah, as on the day at Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they'd seen my works." It's a wonderful thing to be a part of God's flock. And is a place of absolute safety. You know, when we think about being away from this enclosure, we're always looking over our shoulders. I understand that sheep are one of the few animals that, because of the placement of the eyes on their head, they can actually see behind themselves. But sheep always had to be on the watch because there was great danger outside of this sheepfold. When they're in the sheepfold, they didn't have to be vigilant like that. And I want to be in a place where I don't have to constantly be watching over my shoulder. Because, largely, Jesus is the door and he prevents evil from coming into that sheepfold. And there was a lot of evil. There was disease. There were wild animals. There were pretend shepherds. There were all kinds of things that wanted to come into the sheepfold to despoil the sheep. But because Jesus is the door, he's not going to allow that to happen. He gives us access into this place of safety, and he keeps it a place of safety. He keeps it a place where we don't have to worry about the evil. You know, as I was putting this all together, I was thinking about sheltering in place and staying inside of our houses. You know, our doors do something for us. They keep the evil out. They can't keep it out completely. But just knowing that there is protection, as long as we stay in that sheepfold, is a wonderful thing. So Jesus says, I'm the door. I give you access into my sheepfold. And I prevent evil from entering my sheepfold. And I think importantly, Jesus is a transparent door. Sometimes doors are used to hide what goes on inside. We have a phrase. We talk about the things that happen behind closed doors. And I don't want that kind of a door. I don't want a door where I could be abused on the other side of it. Jesus never abuses. Jesus is a transparent door. Look at Matthew, the 11th chapter. And at verse 29, beginning in Matthew 11, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, learn of me. I am gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Jesus is not going to abuse us behind this closed door. There is no sense in which he will plunder us. 1 John, the 5th chapter, and at verse 3, John says about Jesus being this transparent door, a door where we will not be abused, a door where we really want to be. In John, 1 John, the 5th chapter, and at verse 3, John says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And he says, importantly, his commandments are not grievous. Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, and at verse 17, we see pretty much the same statement, that Jesus is peace. He is never a God of abuse. You know, there are some places where people are abused in the name of religion, but never Jesus. His ways, the writer of Proverbs says, are ways of pleasantness. His paths are paths of peace. In Micah, the sixth chapter, and at verse 8, you find the prophet talking about what was going to come and describing it in this way, Micah 6, and at verse 8. Micah says, "O my people, remember when Balak, the king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him. What happened from Shittim to Gilgal, and you will know the righteous acts of God. It is such a good thing to be in God's hands. He has told you, O man," he says in verse 8, "what is good, what does the Lord require of you? To do justice and to loving and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." This is a door where there's nothing hidden in Jesus. Ezekiel the 34th chapter, and beginning at verse 14, Ezekiel says this. "I will feed them with good pasture." Of course, he's talking about God. "And on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I'll strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I'll destroy. I'll feed them in justice." So it is a good thing to be a part of Jesus' sheepfold. I want to be in that sheepfold where he is the door. So we understand a little bit about what Jesus' mission was. We can appreciate that Jesus came here to accomplish what God wanted to accomplish, to take care of his sheep. What does that mean to me? Well, my focus has to be to understand who Jesus is. You know, frankly, Jesus attracted a pretty unsavory crowd when he was here. If I was walking down the street and I'm sorry, I'm now looking at my screen and I've got all kinds of blue lines on my screen. I hope you're not seeing that. If you are, I apologize. Jesus, when he was here, attracted such an unsavory crowd that I have a feeling that if I saw Jesus and the group that followed him walking down the street, I probably would have gripped my daughter's hand a little bit more closely, and I'd have walked to the other side of the street and I'd have said, "Don't stare." There's so many times that Jesus talked about what he did, and it impacts what I have to do if I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm going to be in the sheepfold, and there are going to be a lot of unsavory folks in here. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Mark talks about, Mark records for us what Jesus said. Isaiah talks about what Jesus was going to do when he came. Luke, the fifth chapter, talks about the group of people that Jesus attracts. And it's the group that's going to populate Jesus' sheepfold. I have to be careful because sometimes I would like to add some requirements to Jesus' door to get into the sheepfold. It seems like he's letting in a lot of people that are very different than what I am. There are people that are like what I was, but I'm not like that anymore. Now I would like for Jesus to keep some of those people out sometimes. You know, if you read in Acts 10, where Peter had to be convinced that Jesus wanted to admit the Gentiles, you have to be struck with the fact that when that sheep was let down and the voice from heaven said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat," Peter had to say, "I don't eat those kinds of animals." But what we know is that Cornelius prayed to God, and Cornelius saw a vision. It's recorded for us, Acts 10, verses 1 through 6. Peter prays to God, and he sees a vision that's separate from what's going on with the household of Cornelius. But in verses 9 through 16, God had to try three times to convince Peter that when he says something is clean, it's clean. And it's not up to Peter to make his own determination. So Peter goes to the household of Cornelius, and he takes some Jewish brethren with him. When they get there, in verses 44 through 46, they see Cornelius, a Gentile of all things, and he's speaking in tongues the same way that Peter and the apostles did on the day of Pentecost. And Peter asks a question that in some ways is a shocking question. Who would forbid water that these should be baptized just like we were? This was a shocking thing. But Cornelius comes in through the door. He is baptized. He is admitted into Jesus' sheepfold. That was Jesus' plan from the very beginning. False teachers sought to add requirements for the Galatians' admission. But we've been studying in Galatians with Ted. Galatians, the second chapter, verses 11 through 14. They wanted to say, wait, you need to be circumcised. You need to become, in essence, Jews before you can come into the kingdom. Before we're going to let you be admitted into the sheepfold, we're going to add something to what Jesus said. In Acts 15, there was that meeting in Jerusalem, and the record of that meeting says, we want to lay upon the Gentiles no greater burden than what God lays upon the Gentiles. It's not up to us to add something. You know, their issue was circumcision. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 1, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, there will be some that will add requirements. Forbidding to marry, abstaining from meats. Circumcision is not my issue today. my issue probably revolves around people being of the kind of moral character that I'm comfortable being in the pen with. Not up to me to add my requirements to Jesus' door. And those that added the requirements drove people away. Think about the blind man who was healed in John the 9th chapter. And they called his parents before the synagogue. They said, "What happened to your son?" And they were afraid to acknowledge Jesus because they would have been put out of the synagogue. The Apostle Paul talked about Diotrephes, John talked about Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them. He wouldn't receive John, wouldn't receive other people because he wanted to have the preeminence. He wanted to be the one that was able to add something to what the requirements were that had been proclaimed so clearly by Jesus. I have to be careful. And I have to understand that in reality, no man can really shut Jesus' door. Now, we can act like we can, and we can drive people away because we try, but we cannot shut that door. Jesus said in Revelation 3 and at verse 8, if John is recording the words of Jesus, he said, "I've opened the door and no man can shut it." We cannot keep people out of the kingdom of God. And I need to be careful that I don't try to keep people out of the kingdom of God. No matter what they look like when Jesus says that they can be admitted. It's also true that I'm very disappointed that some sheep don't come into Jesus' sheepfold. And they're in my mind, they're good people. But when Jesus calls, they just don't answer. And I'm disappointed by that. I would like nothing better than for those people to come into Jesus' sheepfold. Because I know how good it is inside that sheepfold. But Jesus called, they didn't answer. And so, they're outside. I want them to be inside so badly that I'm tempted to make another door. Jesus is the door. There's no question about that. Jesus has called to them, but they won't come in. And so I think, well, I need to make another door. I need to do something that'll get those people into this sheepfold. But Jesus tells us, if you do that, you're like the thief and the robber. When you create another door, you're going to destroy all that I have done. I wish people were in the sheepfold. I would want people to understand how good it is to be in that sheepfold. And I want all people to come to know the peace that I have known. But I have to accept the fact that some people are just not going to answer. If you would answer, then put Jesus on. Let him be your door. It's baptism that makes that possible. We come into that sheepfold through Christ. And there's no other way to get in. I would give anything if everybody knew what I have known. What a wonderful thing it is to be in Jesus' sheepfold.